Slowly downtown.
Nice. So I'm calling the library board meeting to order on December 19th at, I don't actually know,
6:31.
6:41 p.m. Present are board chair Jennifer Dagus, board members Bethany Marks, Nancy Sabin, Laura Brown, and librarian Michelle Schneider. And first order of business, are there any changes to the agenda? Nope. Okay, item three, approval of November 21st meeting minutes. Are there any changes or questions?
I wasn't here, so I won't make a motion.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Meeting minutes are accepted as written. So item four, discussion on community services committee meeting presentation. So we do have the annual report.
So I didn't include the, because everybody still has, I think, the mission and value.
That's okay. Fresh.
Yeah. So Laura.
We presented the mission and values to the board. Committee board at December 6th, and they were approved.
Good.
Okay. They also liked the idea of translating things to Spanish and did say that when we do that, that there would be need to be some internal review of whatever we do the translation of. So, and I have somebody lined up who will do that translation for us, ready to go. If you'll email me them.
Good. I did.
You did today?
I did. Somewhere in your email.
Great.
So then I presented the second half, which I created an annual report for, I believe this is the first annual report this library has ever had that I know of. And threw in as much stuff in as I could in the time that I had. It was a lot. Basically a lot of the stats came from the state library report that I do every year. The difficulty in this is because, so it's 22-23, even though it says an annual report, because the fiscal year for the state report for the library as well as the city is the year 22-23. So it ends end of June and then begins and the beginning of July. So, but there are some things too that are calendar year. So for the most part, most of the stats are, they follow through with the 22-23 fiscal year reporting. Some of the programming though, because summer reading program covers 2 years, it covers, because the while there's the 22-23, because we have programs that start in June, it's kind of like the 21-22, the 22-23. So it's kind of a little wonky how it's counted in. So it's, that's why it's somewhat calendar year, somewhat fiscal year. And there's not really a way around it if you're trying to kind of calculate a full summer reading program, because it's just, it's always going to fall over the fiscal year. So, but what I put into it, of course, was a letter to the community, stats on our overall year of how things have increased, which is great. We are increasing our number of active library cards. COVID, the library did take a large hit. And so it's, you know, we're still building back the community and kind of trying to get them back from the, they dispersed a lot during COVID. And so, you know, they had alternate means digitally. So, but we are getting them back. We have, we had a, bought, you know, with our 7 new computers this year, we had over 1,200 or 1,222 computer sessions. That is basically, we do 2-hour allotments. So when someone comes in, whether they're there for 10 minutes or 2 hours, it's counted as, you know, a session. So that's at least 1,222 people touching our computers at least at one point, as well as the Wi-Fi sessions. Wi-Fi sessions are a little bit more difficult. That's based upon site, of the scene that they're using, their phone, their tablet, their laptop. That's not necessarily seeing everyone at every point or after hours. They may be in the parking lot, or one day we may upgrade our Wi-Fi equipment in which it will count for us. At this point, it does not, and so we hand count. Also listed the non-city funding. Part of that was the consortium grant that I helped co-write, which is in its second year. The Ready to Read state grant, that's 2 years worth, because obviously it covers over 2 summers, so each year was 1,000. The Education Together Foundation grant, that was 600, my first, you know, well, 22, and then 2023, I pushed it to 1,000. And then the PILCO grant, which we just got with the Friends Group. We have a lot of partnerships. This library does very well in working with our community partners, and so we wanted to highlight them, as well as volunteers. We have amazing volunteers. About 42, giving us close to 1,400 volunteer hours, which I haven't gone. There's a calculator to monetize volunteer hours, but I've seen how much of that was staff time that we are getting free. So that's fabulous that we're able to have those volunteers give us their valuable time. And then our adult and youth programming, and you can see if you add up all the programs, you know, we're getting over 1,400 people to our events. And so it's a very, you know, libraries are, you know, especially for Junction City, is very community oriented, and a lot of people enjoy coming because they learn new things, they meet others in their community, or they meet other people that they know. So it's fabulous that we're able to kind of provide that accessibility for people to come and learn new things. So, you know, it's fabulous. And that, of course, includes our large contingent that comes for the summer reading program. And then on the back, the other things that we've been up to between the summer are the reading adventure backpacks, which we launched this year, the summer reading program. And you can see from the statistics below, in the 2022, we had 120 kids, and that was ages 1 to 12. 52% read more than 20 books, where we had, we raised it to age 14 for this year's summer reading program. We had 5 less kids, but we raised our reading level to 60%, read more than 25 books. So I think that's excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We gave out tons of books between this year and last year. So hopefully that is something that's helping to inspire kids to, you know, go back to reading as something that is more than just a one-off. So, and that went over very well, I think, with the CSC Community Services Committee. They were very, I think it was an eye-opener for them, because they there are new people on the board. There's about three city councilors and a member of the public on their board. And I think since we have not kind of been on their forefront in a while, and there are new members, they were not familiar with what we had done. So I think it was great that we were able to showcase that to them. So they had a lot of questions.
And did they say how they want future stuff presented, just like this? Or?
I think they basically said that it was presented well. I think we gave them more than they ever expected. Okay. You know, visualness is, you know, graphics is fantastic. Great.
Mm-hmm. like all the flyers.
Mm-hmm.
This looks super good.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
And all the logos.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. Very impressive.
Well, you know, it's part of telling a story. You know, if it's visual and it kind of pops out, and you know, a lot of it too is just the photos that they're able to see. You know, we have diversity, we have seniors, we have various groups of different populations, and you know, activities going on. And I think that reflects out to them as well that, you know, our community is interactive, and we do, you know, bring in a wide variety of people to the library. That, you know, it's great to see that.
Okay.
You see that it brings in the ones.
Well,
I don't think we want a picture of that in the.
I don't think
so. Okay. Any more discussion on that? That sounds like that went really well.
We have this at home. This is not a big discussion, but we have this at home, and
we're in like every photo.
I know. And Holland looks at it because we grabbed two from the meeting. Every time she looks at this picture, she goes, "Kinna." This one too.
Oh, yeah, yep, yep. If we take a picture, you may be in it.
We're in all of them. I wasn't kidding when I said we go to all of the events.
That is fabulous. I did forget to put one in, but I figured for the CEP, the capital expenditure worksheet.
Okay, so last meeting, Jason came, the city administrator, went over the budget and said that it sounded like he wanted us to review the capital expenditures and see if we had any comments to make.
Oh, like moving something or?
Yeah, or yeah. If we're missing anything.
Had said that he was given a limited idea of kind of what was needed. And you might already have this in your packet security. So basically, it is kind of limited on what was listed within, you know, like carpet replacement, furniture replacement, interior painting, exterior painting, HVAC replacement, roof replacement. So I guess some of that is, are we missing a component of replacement or maintenance on this list that we can think of?
You mentioned how other services within the community have a lot longer lists than the library has. So maybe we should be more comprehensive.
I guess we should probably review what the other departments have.
I'm just saying, anything's due, like, you know, with a home, like, when was the last time the HVAC was done? Yeah. When was the last time the roof was done?
So those two are here.
Last time the water heater was flushed, yeah.
And by adding it It doesn't mean that we get it.
No, I think it just puts it out there for them to awareness of, yeah, okay, you know, hey, maybe this should have been added. Do we, some of the things that when I first came on board, I kind of put on my wish list was, like the front walkway, was very slippery at the time, because of moss that had grown. Mm-hmm. And so I think, ramp upkeep, yeah, is part of it. As well as, I mean, it might fall under exterior painting, but just general painting on the railings. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure if that comes under ramp, mm-hmm, upkeep, or
could be like ADA like upgrades.
Is there anything they can do to railings to make them not so slick? Like this one, I haven't noticed so much, but the one at our church, if it's wet, it's slicker than slick.
Mm, that's not helpful.
So,
texture.
Part of the, you know, they put zinc on it to kind of dry out the moss. Mm-hmm. What I had also wanted to do was kind of a overseal. It's kind of cobblestoney because it's weathered enough. Mm-hmm. And I wanted, you know, just a layer of concrete, you know, to just go over it to, mm-hmm, cover the cobblestone look. Mm-hmm. And not just for looks, for safety, because, mm-hmm, that is what usually becomes slippery. Mm-hmm. And then that became a larger discussion of how compliant is our ramp to ADA.
I like Jennifer's suggestion. If we're just bringing it back to what we would write down for capital campaign, mm-hmm, or capital budget projects, I think, mm-hmm, ADA compliance, yeah, could be a generalization that is reviewed and accounted for every 3 years, five, yeah, years.
So she would like updates to the,
yeah,
ADA.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it'd be I don't know if it fits in with the rest, but it could be something just to review.
Well, I mean, it overall, whether it's indoor and outdoor,
yeah,
because our bathroom has, mm-hmm, to keep as ADA compliant, as well as, you know, that's, yeah, you know, general spacing within the library. I don't know how much you can do about, you know, right, that, but overall, mm-hmm, I think, you know, making sure that, you know, we're keeping up with current.
You also mentioned about the Wi-Fi router technology. I feel like, mm-hmm, technology is something that obviously is a city administrative budget, but also recognizing that that's an offering of us. It's not necessarily an offering of public work.
So that was part of, because I went over this with the IT,
okay,
staff. And so there are certain, there's pieces to that component. The Wi-Fi kind of like factors in multiple.
But like updates to routers, could that be capital, that type of stuff?
Like library switch replacement, access switch replacement, library with WAP replacement.
No idea.
Yeah, exactly. All those are
comes from the route.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there's four things, I believe, that lock into the Wi-Fi. They are on the list, although they are pretty far out. 2030. Part of that, there has been a discussion whether or not, one, we are going to possibly switch our provider. Right now it's Comcast. We're looking to see if we can upgrade to a better upload, download, faster service.
Okay. Okay.
There are new services moving into town, putting new cabling in. And so,
Hunter.
Yeah. So we are waiting to see what the city, not that we can't, we can be separate because our Wi-Fi system is separate from the city. So, mm-hmm, we pay not only, mm-hmm, in the library, IT services. We're paying for our city access, for our staff computers, and then we're also paying separately for our library patrons, mm-hmm. Wi-Fi access. So we don't have to be on what the city is, mm-hmm. but until they figure out, you know, all their structure. I just saw their truck out today. Mm-hmm. So people are in place, they're working on it. It may relatively be the same price, but faster service.
Right.
I would rather serve, you know, move over. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely something that I think once we address the service, we can see how it affects our Wi-Fi quality and needing newer equipment. So that is definitely something that is kind of working in place right now. So hopefully we will find something better, newer in the coming year.
Okay. Hmm. Okay.
So good on that. So I think that because anything that's computer related is already factored into the process, because that falls under the city's IT program.
Okay.
So are there other things that we're thinking that
do we own that copier or rent it?
So we rent it. The contract for the copier, I negotiated that probably about a year ago. Mm-hmm. I think we're on a 2-year. We had moved. I moved us off just purely a black and white to a black and white color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
modern technology.
Mm-hmm. So we don't need to put that replacement in because we're renting.
We're renting. Yeah. So that's good. All the city rents theirs because the technology changes too fast.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it includes maintenance. which we don't want to do. let's see.
I don't see why you'd ever replace the shelves, but is that considered the furniture?
No, I think furniture is more the tables and the chairs. Shelving. I would love to replace our shelving. The problem we have is none of them are capped, so we lose all of our display capability up above. There are some issues with just overall structure of them. There are nicer systems out there. I think, you know, having an idea of shelving, because these are the original shelving from at least 1971.
How much does one column?
Are we talking like thousands? Or
yeah, okay. Thousands. One, I think two of the shelves, we're looking at least 450.
Okay.
They're not. That's why.
Well, I'm trying to think, like, what if.
Well, and they're also only 36 inches. This is one company that all they make is one size.
Oh.
That is all they do. So anytime, you know, like over in the DVD section, when I was like, I have a little extra room, doesn't matter. There's nothing, they make nothing beyond the 36 inch. And I was like, well, that's a nice thing to learn.
So one of these is $450 is what you're estimating?
No, I think it was a couple shelf years, like a shelf, like,
oh, like
one and two.
Like these, like the actual shelf, not the whole unit.
Just the shelves?
Yeah.
So like the whole, for the whole unit, the shelves?
No.
Just like one or two?
Just one or two.
For $450.
Yeah.
Hmm.
We're not in it is, government furniture, library furniture is very exorbitant.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if we remained with this type of shelving.
Right.
If we switch, see, some of the problem too, there's a lot of, we do have spacing at the bottom for more books, but people are more reluctant to reach to the bottom, as well as just accessibility of the reach of, you know, seniors or people who can't lift books from the very bottom. There's different types of shelving out there that would make it a little bit more, maybe more conducive to be accessible. the shelving that we have in the kids area is hand built wall to wall oak, as if you know, oak was a favorite in the 70s. It was like made for every waterbed ever. Oak warehouse. I totally remember that. The problem, the ones over in the kids area, is they all have lips. So basically books get hidden into it because it's not flush. And so we're always having to pull a book out to kind of like, you know, which in itself is not good for the book, because then the book is having to withstand pressure, you know, at a vertical instead of being straight on. Plus books never get checked out because they get lost in that little half inch lip, so to say. And so they're not the most conducive as well over there. They have no tops to the junior shelving. So yet again, we lose any display areas. We're very limited on our display areas. So, you know, you try and the display areas, it's not just like displaying a book, but a lot of times you're using that for your signage to describe what the areas are, because our ceilings are not necessarily made to hang anything off of. So,
well, I'm thinking that if there could be a decent, it could be a friend's conversation, but like if there could be a decent price point for a shelving unit that you're just Google Gaga over, that could be a company sponsorship of, let's say, the chiropractic agency in Eugene wants to sponsor this book, then we just put their logo or name somewhere on it, and then.
But
it probably should regardless be on the list of something that is assessed however many years. They look like they're in great shape for 50 years old.
However
long ago that was.
And they're probably going to keep staying in good shape. It's just like the functionality.
You know, the concern comes in more about the foundation below it. Because what happens is
That just gave me so much anxiety.
As a mom, I just like had a heart attack.
So, I mean, they are welded, you know, pretty well screwed into the floor.
But still,
you know, it's not earthquake rated.
Or if I get out before the shelf does. I mean, like, drilled into the floor, will probably rip up.
And the big ones.
This building was never meant to be a library building, honestly. It was a event hall. Who knows what it was before, kind of that range, more of, I bet it was probably a barn. The police department was kind of like half barn, where they would, because you know, you had horses pull engines, and so it, you know, followed through with that. The so there's no fires, which is a mix. A lot of U.S. libraries are a mix of their older buildings that don't have.
There's no asbestos or anything in
there. Oh yeah.
There's got to be.
Are there any grants or anything to get rid of something like that?
Basically, you just keep covering over it, because the moment that you are taking out asbestos, there's so many rules and things that you have to do to remediate it. You know, between whether it's paint, and when I was even looking at the flooring replacement for the bathroom and kind of the kitchen storage area, we would be looking at overplacement. Because your costs incur so much more if you're taking things out. I mean, at that point, they're going to do that over at the community center when they're rehabbing the community center.
But there's never any government grants for safety-wise things that would cover anything like that.
Well, so there may be, but you have to look at the other side of the factor. You to do something like that, you have to close down your library.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to pack everything in your library up, move it all out and restart. And like, you know, maybe, you know, you have, I guess the part would be to what effect, mm-hmm. you know, because right now the building is stabilized. It's got enough layers of paint on it. Mm-hmm. It's got enough like flooring layers. What would be the factor that we would want to disturb?
I just thought maybe we could get some money through that somehow.
The amount of money that it might almost take is worthwhile to even get a new building by that point. I mean, you know, it's like a car that is kind of running down in age, and you're mm-hmm. like, how much are you going to put into it before you just get something new? Yeah. So I don't, you know, feel that we're at that point, you know, even if we were, you know, the whole idea that I had of repainting, we wouldn't scrape down paint. We would just paint over. And then where there are deficiencies, they would, you know, caulk in and the drywall and fix the drywall.
So if we bring it back to the budgeting mm-hmm. conversation, is new, like you talked about the van situation, is that something that could go on that list? Obviously, we don't know if it would be approved. But could we add that to the list?
I don't know. I don't know if this is based upon things as is current or things as is proposed, because obviously, you know, it would be vehicle purchasing, vehicle right. maintenance.
Right.
But along with that also goes staffing. And so, yeah, right. you know, okay. I don't know.
Well, then what Jennifer said of it would be maybe helpful to know what other, if Jason could get us the other capital.
I think we could probably get it ourselves.
Oh, really?
Probably.
Okay.
It does have, okay, so project by funding source, Parks Department, capital. So you can see here, playground equipment, irrigation system, paint, train. Oh, they have the train over at the park, train refurbishment, bench. The covered area, the gazebo, plumbing, restroom painting. I don't know that everybody is actually that far into it. Ford Ranger pickup. I mean, that's for the Parks Department. They already have power tool system replacements.
But like, is foundation repair something we would put on there, or is it something like the city does, like automatically?
Well, I don't know.
We don't want to use the library fund. I mean, obviously we need it for the library.
I mean, a lot of these do sound a lot more general. I mean, even when you're, you know, basketball court refurbishment, they're not really getting hugely in depth of every point about it. They're kind of like over
refurbishment of
walls. Yeah, exactly. Of flooring or something. Okay. Locker room flooring. Paint locker rooms, blanket, pool blanket replacement, lane line ropes and buoys. So I think it's almost not that we're not getting as many as other people. I think it's just a lot of it kind of falls within these descriptors could be too. Obviously shelving would be, we would want to differentiate that because shelving is not furniture.
Okay.
It's
shelving refurbishment.
There you go. So, and you know, it's something that we can keep thinking about along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for utilities, I mean, our heating, the plumbing. So the plumbing, we are unable to effectively use our kitchen sink water.
Sink refurbishment.
pipe filtration system.
Filtration refurbishment.
Yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah, because we, some of the other departments with, you know, over the city hall, I mean, all the old buildings, you have old pipes. And so doesn't matter. You either have to put in a filtration system that will filter the water, or you have to look at how the pipes are. Are they, not that they're cracking or anything like that. It's just that they're aged and everything tastes very rusty tinny.
So water comes out, it's just not good water.
I mean, mm-hmm.
it's brown. What's new?
yeah, it's good for the plants, not for the people. So, anyways, okay.
You know, I will say, Michelle, you've been doing fantastic replacing furniture out here, and I would like to pressure you into getting good furniture for yourself.
Oh,
in your corner.
My corner.
Unless it really works for you.
You know, funny enough, that teacher's desk is really huge. The only thing annoying about it is that sometimes the drawers lock because you have to do this weird, like, open one drawer to open the other drawer.
I was just looking at it the other day, and I'm like, this is old furniture.
Maybe we could sell it as an antique.
I know you're like focusing out here.
I know.
It's like, if better furniture would work for you back there, I think the board should pressure you into trying to get it.
I would like the divider.
Like a taller.
A taller divider with clear transparency, but to give some sound.
Can I donate those? I literally have those from our old office just sitting in my garage right now.
Really?
I do, yeah, because we went from a cubicle setting to a place with actual offices. I have a stack of those transparent tops.
Yeah.
I think I have a stack of cubicle cubby board things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you end up putting them all? Just...
Well, because we own the business. And
oh, there you go.
We didn't have anywhere to put them. We've been waiting to take them to the dump.
Oh, well, we could see if they work with our current system.
The cubby boards are ugly, but I do have the transparent thing still in the box. Brand spanking new that I can donate to until you get your cubby ones you want.
Well, it's more about kind of like from the front face, having bring it up to maybe 6 foot, 8 foot of clear plexiglass to kind of like be on the front face and a little bit around the side. For sound dampening, it's just it's a lot of I still need to see everything that goes on, you know. Mm-hmm. That is the thing. I can't have it kind of blocked because sometimes I am the only one here, and so we want to make sure that, you know, patrons are being addressed and whatnot. But
ours is frosted,
so
it's like privacy, but you can see through it, you know.
How well can you see through it?
Like, you could see, like, I could see like Laura's shape. I would know she was there.
Like looking through this thing?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, no, mine, it would have to be see-through, I think, just to, mm-hmm. Yeah. But thank you.
Mm, that would have been nice, too, for both of us.
Yeah. Actually, what would go on there, I do want to replace the middle, the front desk area. That is a cobblation of pieces and parts. They don't actually go together. They kind of look like they do, but they did kind of like weird formica tops to kind of blend it. And so that in itself is $3,000 to $7,000, depending on. Yeah. But to make it more staff friendly as well as user friendly, because the newer ones now even have it. If someone is in a wheelchair, they can roll up and someone else can sit down, or it's better for staff that they don't always have to sit up raised. I've been thinking about that a lot, how the middle portion would be nice if we could change that into a more.
That doesn't count as furniture.
You know, I would. The problem with furniture, you know, depending on what we're looking at it for, I mean, I'm also needing a DVD cabinet, and that itself is up to $2,000 to $3,000. So it's not necessarily, I mean, if I spend money on that, you know, once that money's gone, this money's gone, that means that nothing will be available for 10 years after that, and that money for the furniture essentially will be gone. Right. So
we put the DVD under shelving.
Exactly. So I don't know. We could call it maybe something else.
I say we need to assess furniture more often.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently.
Yeah.
Because it needs, you know, maybe the table doesn't need to be returned every 10 years, but once it's stable, then it's the chairs, then it's the
mm-hmm. break that down.
Yeah.
Because obviously even our chairs, you know, we could run, you know, some of the wear and tear on the pads on the chairs themselves are not really replaceable. Mm-hmm. Because these chairs are probably from early 80s.
Wow. It's always a bummer to not be able to wipe things down.
Mm-hmm. So
I mean, like, so much of the furniture looks great, but you just never know what will happen.
Yeah, it's because we wipe things down and do what mm-hmm. we can to take care of it. And mm-hmm. so, yeah. Has been mentioned on some of the other libraries that they don't clean as much as we do. So, like, we're a small library. I think we should always be clean. So, but yeah, I mean, I love our carpet tiles because they are, they last a long time without looking like there's a lot of wear to them.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
Okay.
All right. Any more discussion? So for this list, would you just email Jason?
Yeah. He might send me some of these. I don't know if he already has it pre-populated and I just send him the information.
Mm-hmm.
Another capital plan, or you know how that has to happen. So I would probably have to ask him what he needs.
Okay.
And then,
yeah, I think even if they don't add it, it's just good for him to be aware
mm-hmm.
That those are a little different.
But carpet also should include tile.
Oh.
Or for the bathroom and so it should be maybe floor replacement, not just carpet replacement, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep. Cool. All right.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is to pick different dates for January and February. Both of those meetings fall on holiday or day after holiday, so the library is not open.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you guys want to do like? Do you mean like a different day or a different?
So for the week of the 14th, I'm actually out of the office until the 18th.
Okay.
So that one.
So 23rd, maybe.
Let's see.
I feel like the 9th is too soon.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering. Maybe just do one meeting for January, February. That way we don't accidentally put some right next to each other.
That's fair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? So, oh, by the change of the date,
yeah. Postpone January to like the end of February.
What do the bylaws say for meetings?
How often they have to happen?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
For how many a year? Maybe
super old bylaws.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah. Isn't it in your book?
I forgot my book.
Oh, probably somewhere.
I don't think I have bylaws.
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that the thing I signed?
No, that's the.
Sure. I don't think I put bylaws in because they're old and they're not very.
Maybe
good.
Something we need to assess eventually.
Yes.
There's some policies. Yeah, we should.
I like your idea. So,
what's the idea?
Do we need to meet monthly? This is a lot of work for Michelle. Like meeting less and maybe having some volunteer hours in the library.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Like maybe a quarterly meeting, like she said, and then, I don't know, 2 hours a month in the library. Maybe that's too much. I don't know.
I like that.
Because I don't feel like we necessarily need.
I like that because, too, we could help Michelle, too, like with that extra time. Yeah. Everyone could do a project, you know, put together a flyer. Or
to do policy writing and stuff.
That makes sense.
Since we're not a voting board.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like every time we get together, it's like, hey, Michelle, do this.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a lot of work for her.
Yeah. Here's more work for you.
Okay.
Yeah. But that would get us all more involved too. More pressure off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was Laura's idea.
It's a great idea.
I brought it up, but that was hers.
Oh, okay. You brought it, you came up with it, Laura developed it.
No, she 100% her.
Here's the thing though. There's a Clifton Strengths, and one of my strengths is called Maximizer. Dylan tells me I steal his ideas and make them better. And he feels like I steal his ideas. But really what I do is I take his ideas and I make them better.
That's the whole part.
I maximize on them.
Yeah.
I have that book. Like
and
I've never read that chapter because it is not me.
Then we're good friends because I'm a great, like, here's an idea. But I don't know how to get from point A to point B.
Uh-huh.
So you'd be the person to be like, well, here's how we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Activate on it. Yep.
I have a great idea. $1 million idea. Remote tile.
This is what happened though. You made a comment and I was like, what if we presented?
Oh yeah.
Let's see. Mm-hmm. I maximized you.
Okay. I like being maximized.
So I can safely say that the bylaws for the Friends of the Library is like 2 times, 3 times the size of the library board. Ours do not encapsulate half the things that would normally be found in bylaws.
So we don't have bylaws.
We have very minimal. It kind of comes with the ordinance that established us, including,
did I say 1979 was the last time they were
2019, but is when the city kind of updated and redid some of its charter stuff.
I see bylaws was 19.
Yeah. Basically, it's 5-member library board, majority of shall be residents of Junction City, appointments made by the mayor with the approval of city council. How vacancies are filled. No person shall hold an appointment as a member of the library board for more than 2 successive terms, but any person may be appointed again to the board after an interval of 1 year. So the only one I think doing that right now is Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Board organization. Board shall each year between July 1st and July 31st meet and organize by election of the chairman among its members. Keep record of its actions. It's so basically just you have to meet.
Jennifer sets the rules.
Let's see. Formulate rules and policies for the governance of the library. Council retains the right to review and change any rule. Prepare an annual budget for submission to the city council. Approve all expenditures, although we kind of, look at it quarterly. Some of it doesn't quite flow as much, except use and expend any real or personal property of funds donated to the library, but city has its gift policy, so that kind of supersedes that. And then basically it just goes into what the library's policies kind of like, how we're financed, unlawful for people to take materials, which
sounds like a great opportunity, but to overhaul these.
Yeah. Yeah.
To make what we want out of this board.
Exactly. What do you need out of us?
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is a lot of work for you, for us to meet monthly without us actually doing anything for you to help you.
Yeah.
And maybe there's not enough time to talk about what you need from us.
I do have to say it was a big push for me to, I have wanted to do the annual report. It was something on my list I wanted to do. I felt it is a good advocacy point for us, mm-hmm. but I can't do that 4 times a year of trying to keep updating information of where we're at. Just collecting all the data and all the, to kind of formulate it into a here's something, you know, lovely, please look at it. It takes a lot of my time out to get to that point. I am happy to do an annual report.
How could you do an annual report 4 times a year?
Well, we, you know, you guys had said you wanted to kind of bring things to the CSE quarterly. And so a lot of that, you know, unless you are gathering information during the meetings to kind of formulate that, that feels like it falls back on me.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to sit there. And
I don't think anybody's asking you to do that. But for me, it is helpful to have stuff in either, I don't know, email format or written format of like, it doesn't have to be pretty. That, you know, I don't have to have it pretty, but I can make it pretty.
Yeah.
So if you told me at every Friday after whatever, if you were like, we had 16 kids at story time, I could create my own spreadsheet and then draft up. So I could create quarterly reports. Absolutely. That would be easy.
I'm an Excel whiz.
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of this kind of factors in on, you know, our monthly meetings when I am going through, you know, this is what we're doing for our fall winter programming. This is, you know, because a lot of that information comes out from that piece that I'm giving. So
we can just take the minutes.
Minutes.
And
kind of, yeah.
Because I don't think. We don't need to present something pretty every time, and we don't need to be there every time. We can just be, because I thought Jason said just send an email and someone will read it at the thing. That's the impression I got.
That's what I got too.
Oh, I don't, yeah.
Maybe some things we want to present, but
yeah.
Like, yeah.
So we could just like pick out a couple things from the minutes and be like, hey, read this sentence about what the library did this month.
No, I mean, you know, we make flyers for everything that we do. You know, I can, you know, I take stats of how many people came.
Are you the one making flyers for everything? Are you the one making flyers for everything?
So I do a large portion. Sophia does some, and I'm having a few volunteers work on some. It's a learning curve for those who've never done graphics before. Yeah. So.
But that could also be something that you delegate to us or the board if you want to.
We're ripe and ready.
Play in Canva all the time. So if that can be helpful for you. But I also understand, like, you know, I work in development. I know everything in my head. So sometimes it is easier for me to, if I'm going to have to type it out to send to you, and then you're just going to, like, at that point, I've already done the work.
So exactly. Yeah. Sometimes that's kind of like, well, it takes me twice as long to type it out and then just to do it myself. Yeah. So I think I, you know, maybe if we could figure out a format of what you want to send on or present.
But right now,
yeah,
we're talking about doing these meetings on a monthly cadence is a lot of work for you to have to set the agenda, to do monthly minutes, to go through the budget, to go through all the successes, to create all these things that you're doing. That's a lot of work on you. Do we need to meet monthly as a group? Are there other ways that if we didn't have board meetings monthly, but then we did other working sessions every month, like you, we're not just going to show up. And
quarterly was just a suggestion.
And that's like as a board, as a working board, as an advisory board, how can we be more action oriented and less draining on your workload.
That's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It is. I think that's a huge topic.
Yeah.
And I would like to postpone it till next meeting so we can all think about it.
That's fair.
Unless you have a comment now, Michelle.
So the original then, January, February.
But I think
once in February.
I think if we do one meeting for January, February.
Because they also schedule it on the city's calendar. So we've already taken off June and August.
Okay.
We're now in 2024. So does that factor?
We took the June and August off.
For this coming calendar year.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Because of the festival.
Right. Got it.
So, well.
But our bylaws don't have a meeting minimum.
Well, so this coming summer, it's not even that the festival is going to interplay. It's going to be that summer reading program will be off site. And so that is a bit of a difficulty trying to be, you know, coordinate everything and two buildings and do everything. And so, I mean, we have an obligation to meet. There's also, you know, if anyone is excited about, you know, the community of joining or of coming, that, you know, we have to be available and be a presence for them. And so, you know, reducing that down to 10, I you know, even going less than that.
So you're recommending that we meet in January and February?
Well,
that's, it's okay if that's what you're recommending.
No, but I'm, you know, and that's fine. I mean, honestly, I'm trying to factor in Lego Club too. And the 23rd was one of our days that we were looking at launching the Lego Club. So it would be Lego Club and then it would be library board on the same day.
January 9th is too close though to now.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I have a meeting January 9th and I can't do the 23rd. I could do the 30th. Personally, if that's the following Tuesday.
But, you know,
the 16th is when she's out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could do February. That's fine.
Well, January 30th would be kind of an
yeah. And then the next one in February could be the 27th. That'd be about a month apart. If no one has anything on the 27th. Or something, but I could.
We don't have to have January. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, we.
Then we could do early February, though, and kind of split the difference.
The 13th? The 6th of February?
Let's see.
I don't have anything ever. So.
Until you do.
I do. July, I'm having a baby. That's what I
have. Not on a Tuesday.
It's a pretty central due date. So I think it'll be July.
Okay.
My God, it was 3 weeks.
Oof. Jeez.
I'm not doing that.
Yeah, mine were 4 and 5 days late. That was late enough. My first one was right on time, but my second one was 5 days late.
My first one was 3 weeks early.
Oh.
And my second one was on time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, so rude. She might have well have been 3 weeks late.
So I guess some of the question too is that when Jennifer and I create the agenda, sometimes, you know, it's, you know, a continuation of something we're already doing, but then we're also like, well, did we really forecast out this year of what we want to, you know, attack? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're kind of at a loss sometimes going, you know, is there something else we want to talk about? And it just feels like it's Jennifer and I making the agenda for everybody else.
I don't want to sound like I'm making more work for anyone, but would it be possible to be on like an email thread, you know, like the week before? And anyone could do this.
Yeah.
And just be like, we're getting ready to set the agenda. Any add-ons or, you know?
Yeah. I can do that with my board. Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
So check in.
And we did talk about like what, you know, a few in February, we talk about XYZ in, that was 2 months ago. I can't remember what the calendar ended up looking like or landing on for when you were asking that question.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we always have a slew of policies to get through. Mm-hmm. That's not something.
But we can't do that at these meetings because you can't have more than two people, remember, to work on a policy. Like we can't, remember when we tried to work on the policy meeting and I had to make sure that there weren't too many people, the subcommittee meeting.
We can do policy here, but if you have a subcommittee, you can't can't have a board meeting.
Yeah. So it's reversely that. Yeah.
Okay.
Like we need like a different day where we have like a long meeting.
Yeah.
No, like an annual
game session.
Board meeting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, it goes down to, you know, the biggest one that's usually the most involved is like the collections policy and dealing with, you know, how we, you know, what we purchase, why we purchase, you know, how we take requests, how we do diversity, it's a lot. I mean, that one's a huge endeavor for a lot of, you know, for most libraries. And that's, you know, what we have posted, I think, was done in 1999. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, always been kind of down on the list simply because of the amount of work that, you know, other things are going on. I don't know. You know, some of the stuff we've done, you know, we can work towards updating our bylaws. That is something else we could do.
Be something that can be divvied out, maybe too. Like someone does research, what other libraries have for their bylaws and what we may want to adopt, or
mm-hmm. Well, we did when we did the computer policy, with seeing what else was online, and
you know,
how do all the policies at work.
And that is another question of how are we going to, you know, are we just going to give City Council all the policies that we've been working on and say, here you go, you know, have at it, or are we going to kind of feed it to them piecemeal so that they can kind of digest it?
So it depends how rapidly they come out.
Yeah.
Well, because we have policies already set, like the internet policy that has not floated up to City Hall. We have you know, and how nitty gritty do we need to get on floating up policies? There are some that are just managerial at that level, because it's like bulletin board policy. Really? I don't know.
Need someone to approve it.
Yeah. I mean, we approved it, but does that need to be, you know? So
back to meeting date. This is where we were. Mm-hmm. We still don't have a consensus for that.
I'm good on any.
Well, yeah. I mean, if we want, we could, you know, like you said, split the difference and do February 6th. I would do the 13th, but I also have a friend's meeting that day. Kind of a lot of meetings all in one. But it's doable.
Have to do February 6th and not do January. Everyone's so booked in January.
Okay. And I think just because of the way the calendar falls for holidays, it doesn't always happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for us to kind of like reduce down the amount of meetings is only going to be based upon how many holidays tend to fall in a year. And I did look through the rest of the year, and there aren't any other holidays that fall the third Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So
thinking.
I did look, because it's like, okay, 4th of July, Labor Day, they're all at the beginning of the month.
Yeah.
Memorial Day falls.
Is that the last one?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Wednesday or something.
Oh, it's always on a Monday.
It's a Monday.
But it's at the end.
Last Monday.
Yeah, it's the last one. So that's
as long as that's on a third Monday.
Yeah. I'm sure it could be. That's not till May.
So yeah, February 6th, it does happen at the same time as the Public Safety Committee, which I don't think is an issue.
No. Okay. I thought the Public Safety Committee is meeting during the day.
That's 6:30.
I think we'll be okay. I don't think there's too much crossover.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so next meeting will be February 6th at 6:30. All right. Let's see. Time check, it is 7:48. And we have our library update and review.
Okay.
For
Sorry.
Can I
put up the invitation?
Yeah, I sent it. I didn't know that you were already on the calendar.
I am.
It auto-populated you.
We do have a November budget. And then fall winter programming, summer reading program.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to calendar my, what's my calendar here? Cool. Oh man, I just deleted all of them.
What are you doing, Michelle? Deleting things?
Yeah, instead of like just deleting January's, I think I deleted the whole series.
Oh, that's frustrating.
Microsoft Office it does not know how to separate the delete in a day versus delete a series. So
show on the other side.
So anyways, okay, so we have November's summary report. This is the not quite the end of the year, but let's see, we have taken in some more donations. That comes under library receipts. People have become wonderfully generous during I even had a young girl who is probably about 8, and she came in with a little envelope, and mm-hmm. she was like, I'm giving this to the library, and it had a dollar in it. Oh, and it was so sweet. She loves the library so much, and I was like, oh, thank you. So that's wonderful that we're kind of seeing that. What else we got going on here?
Nothing stood out to me.
No, I just did a lot of billing today. I spent a lot on Lego. Mm-hmm.
Hey! Doesn't take much.
Oh my gosh. Lego is so expensive. And the difficulty is, even if you want to buy off brands, there's so many people, you read the reviews, they're complaining that it doesn't quite fit as well. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to start off, you know, a club with ill-fitting Lego.
It's not a Lego club without Lego.
Exactly. It's
an interlocking club.
Exactly. So, but this is the hilarity of it. Now, you know, and I bought sets that are like thousands of pieces. But, you know, the contest, how many jelly beans are in a jar?
Mm-hmm. Won that 1 year.
All right, everybody gets to guess, and we'll see who comes closest to seeing how much this is. All right, what are your guesses?
Did you count all those?
That comes in the back. The box is pre-counted, and then I pour things in. And
I don't have enough time to count all of these.
Right. 175.
You say 200?
Yeah.
I was going to say 1,200.
I have no idea about like.
Yeah. 800.
Nancy? It's like Price is Right.
Thousand.
A dollar. 3,400.
Oh, my God.
And it doesn't even come halfway.
I was close.
You were close. Jeez.
I had a set that was 1,800, another one that's 1,000, and another one that was, I think, 6 something or other.
That is wild.
That's all the Legos?
And this is all the Legos. And I have some really teeny tiny pieces in another one that's probably about another 200. Mm-hmm. But it's phenomenal to think that you spend gobs of money uh-huh. and yet it doesn't fill up a whole tub. Just crying because yeah,
I had a ton of those and my son-in-law took them all, but I had a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And that's essentially you know, and we're gonna put out a community. You have extra,
kind of sad.
You know, donate to us.
You can wash them in the dishwasher, and it works pretty good.
Oh,
you get
a
thing to put them in, and then Because otherwise, trying to wash them is kind of
But yeah, it's crazy, and I've got because the way that we were looking at doing, because now that we have the three tables over here, having kind of kids from so over in the kids area where there is an actual Lego table and then the smaller table is going to be the 4 to 8 year olds, and we can host maybe about 8 kids over there because otherwise it gets quite chaotic at that age. And then over here would be the 9 to 14 year olds, and we can fit about 14. So we're looking at, we will do maybe half registration, half first come, first serve. That's way, we can not have, the same three families lock it all up. All it, honestly, it would take is three patron families of 5 kids. And we have quite a few of those, and they would like take over all of Lego Club every week. So we're working on that still. One of my volunteers is not able to, so now I have to probably recruit someone else. Unless you're kiddos love Lego.
Yeah, my 16-year-old loves Lego.
Yeah. He wants to come over.
Okay.
Help volunteer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well, but I'm
going to end up building stuff instead of helping.
Well, so we're looking at bi-weekly. The first week would be free play, where the kids could just be creative and create whatever their heart desires, and we would give kind of examples of things they could build. And then the second one, or the fourth week, would be Lego challenge, in which we would give them an item. Everybody create, your dream car or dream race car or something, and then all the kids will kind of vote on who's the best, and we'll kind of, that's kind of part of the challenge. And then we'll try and make room over in the little ledge area up top in the kids area to showcase. We'll have to see how that goes. We just can't have it down below, or everybody, including adults, will want to play with it.
Nancy's on it. That'd be
great. My son-in-law used to, he played with Legos till, he's now in his 60s. He probably still plays with the Legos.
I came home 1 year from college, and I didn't have a bedroom in the house my parents and brother were living in. And so I was down in the basement, and I was like, oh, all my brother's Legos are here. And I made this whole pirate village. It was awesome. So, yeah.
Now it's a fortune. Yeah. That would have been a fortune.
Yeah.
Did you ever have problems with the people not wanting to tear it up after they've made something?
Or
to put them away?
So on free play day, basically, I think, there will be rules to Lego Club, kind of Fight Club. So and I for challenge, we will save the creation, and then the volunteers will kind of break it apart before the next free play day, because you have to have Legos to play with. You can't, and that's right. Part of kids knowing, hey, there's always chance to make something new. And you might not have had all the Legos you wanted to play with last time. Now you can create something with all the colors and whatnot that you wanted that you didn't get from before. So it's part of learning how to share. And so, some of that is just kind of like, I think the older kids, the 9 to 14, less issues on that. They'll be able to kind of adjust. The kids that maybe are 4 to 6, that may be a more of an adjustment for them, to kind of the learning process. But the parents will be still here. It's not like babysitter club.
Legos at home, they have to figure out, I have to take this apart, or I have no Legos to play with.
Exactly. So it's all part of the learning process. I didn't have anything else to point out on the, other than buying a lot of Lego. Well, we have the bill coming up for our consortium. And basically our consortium fees include our database, the courier, and all the digital media, Libby, that we do. And it, of course, goes up. So I think we're just below 9,000, which is a huge chunk. Mm-hmm. And it kind of comes out of multiple pots of our line items. So, but some of those are not shifting with years on increases, because I don't know that they kind of realize what goes into those levels. So that may be a future discussion that we need to have to stay in the consortium. So the other thing that we have coming up, oh, well, and to mention too, the population count was certified and came out. 2 years ago, we had reached 7,028. Woo! We finally surpassed 7,000. And then last year, it went down to 7,002 or 7,008. And we dropped people. And now we're officially up to 7,427. A lot of that is variance. We do have the new people who've moved in off of Oaklea. And then there is just the census poll takers don't reach everybody, and not everybody fills out a, or, you know, it's not census. This is, they get mm-hmm. population counts from other means, but sometimes it's almost subjective because it has to count people on that certain day of that year in that yeah. time period. And so there's variances always, but it does show that yet again, we've had 5% growth in Junction City. So, mm-hmm. And you know, hopefully, We do see more people coming to the library. So in that, we have now changed up our story time. Here's our new flyer. We're now always at the library instead of, I did have my final story time at Max Porter's. Mm-hmm. I had 6 adults and 3 kids, which is always hilarious because I end up reading more to adults than I do kids. But if you interact, you know, it's all about how you interact with the, you know, the adults and the parents to kind of make it fun for them as well. Because obviously they're toddlers who can't even speak, who are still in, you know, the stroller, aren't, you know, participating mm-hmm. as much, but it kind of draws the parents out and gets them very excited to kind of come to the library. So mm-hmm. it works out. But yes, I read a lot more for parents than I do. I have had adults attend story time as well that don't have no kids. So, mm-hmm. you know, if they want, they're more than welcome.
Okay.
We have Social Security who are coming in January. They're also going to be talking about disability and Medicare. So it's great because he's going to cover a lot of points. So we thought that would be good for the beginning of the year. And then we are trying to, we hopefully will have approved. Sophia's going to do a talk about book repair in February.
Neat.
Mm-hmm. So, and then we'll think of more things later on. One of the things that have happened to us, unfortunately, the Lane Libraries app is not working. I don't know if anybody else uses that. It's a, basically you can search the library catalog online on your phone. You could use your phone as your library card. You could do your own renewals for check-in for your books. Unfortunately, what happened is the negotiations broke down between our library catalog provider and the app company. One is national, the other one is international, and they apparently could not come to an agreement. And all of a sudden, the app company decided, well, I'm turning everything off. Mm. Poof. So all the, you know, it's not just us, it's nationwide. So all the libraries, like you can look, there's Anybody who's used this app for the library, all throughout Oregon, everywhere, is now without an app. You can still use it for its functionality if mm-hmm. you've already logged in for your barcode, but the app itself has been taken down off of Google Play and the Apple Store until it can be resolved. Well, they're not resolving it with that company. The library catalog company has decided to create their own app. And so we're waiting for the development of that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
She all just got that.
Is this the Lane Libraries or the Libby app?
Lane Libraries.
The Lane Libraries.
Yeah. Okay. Libby still works perfectly fine. They're totally third party. And yeah, nothing's wrong with them. It is hard because it's like we were just really getting on a roll of getting this pushed out. They are trying to get the current app to at least link up to the website version of the catalog, whereas everything else still won't work. So I'm not quite sure how that's panning out right now.
And do they have a timeline for when they're developing?
They are hoping, you know, they said the next few months, which could be late spring.
Oh
yeah.
Now, when's your social security meeting?
You can have a flyer, Nancy. Okay. How about that?
Because a lot of people ask me a lot of questions, and I look up little booklets and things.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here, you can have more than one.
Okay. Yeah.
So that is a bummer, but you know, we're working with it as much as we can. Other than that, fall winter program, we don't have anything else planned out.
You've got a lot.
Yeah.
Don't downplay it. You've got a lot.
Yeah. I looked at restarting book club, but I think we're going to wait on that. Just timing. It you know needs other things to filter out first. Summer reading program planning, that is on hold. This is the update. Basically, we are waiting to hear where the schools are at. I've talked to the superintendent. They need more time with their facilities people to kind of work out what the possibilities of space are, as well as timing between their programs. He did say that he kind of gave him a self-imposed timeline. At first he said December, but now we're at January 12th. So hopefully by the February 6th meeting, I will have a better update for you. They're pretty sure that they'll be able to host the library's programs. They're a little more hesitant on the community center's programs because they have a heavier need. But they were also looking at the Grange. So he was also looking, I think, because I told him the potential of growth of the program because of the proximity of where it will be, that, you know, it would be great to be at Laurel, but then I've come to find out Laurel has no bleachers. Mm. So, and no chairs and tables.
Mm. It's just on the
floor. Well, mm-hmm. But parents won't necessarily want it on.
I'm at school.
Yeah.
Assemblies, they just don't put the kids on the floor.
Yeah. But then the parents are a different thing. And if there's no chairs and if there's grandparents and whatnot, it's a hard sell. The middle school has bleachers and they have two size gyms. Apparently there's a path beyond or through the elementary school to the middle school. So it's not that far. It will just be a little less visible, I think, because being at Laurel, you have the visibility of, you have the school lunch program there, you have the pool, you have whether or not the community center is going to be there, they're going to have their day camp. There's a preschool, the ABC preschool, plus it has better parking and just people are more familiar. Plus that is the age group that we traditionally target our summer reading program for. Pushing people over to the middle school is not you know, it's not ideal, but it's not a tragedy either. So hopefully they'll work with us. Maybe there's something that we can do of, you know, still being at the space, and maybe they can bring over, you know, tables and chairs.
Yeah, but there is bleachers at the swimming pool now, isn't there?
Sort of. Well, but they're not, they would stay at the pool all summer long, though. They're not going to bring, the city owns the pool.
Yeah, right. But I mean, that's so close. But I was just, didn't they just put them in last summer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the elementary school is the only one that does not have its own set of bleachers, which is kind of weird.
Silly.
So, yeah.
Have to be wherever they will host also the community center.
No, we don't have to be at the same place.
Okay.
And so, and I did stress that just because ours is maybe a 7-week commitment of maybe 2.5 hours once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are a lot more flexible with our time and our day of week, whereas the community center has a daily day camp and they have fitness classes and, you know, other stuff. Yeah. They're trying to push stuff to Viking Sal's, but you can only do so much stuff there.
Yeah.
So the Grange is the other possibility. There's just not a lot of kind of event space in town.
Yeah.
Nope. Kind of limited. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Can we help in any way with that?
You know, I think it's just a factor of him just kind of working out his, you know, because I was like, well, our biggest group has been 82, but we could push it up to possibly 300, depending on, you know, the performer or, you know, the program and because of the proximity. And he was like, oh, well, 80 to 300, that's a big difference. And I'm like, yeah. So, I sent him a huge, everything I could think of on logistics. So if he has questions, it's there for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just.
I feel like they probably have to figure out their summer school, which I don't feel like they have.
Yeah.
I usually feel like they figure it out closer to the end of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this kind of puts them in the realm of, you know, think it through now.
Yeah, which is good. It's good for him.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because kind of what the issue's been in the past is there's been it's been a little one-sided. I think that they've never mind. It just So anyways, they hopefully it will all come together and we will have a better idea come February.
Okay.
So I hope, because I can't wait too long to start looking at performers, and I can't, because he asked that too. Well, who or what you're going to have. And I'm like, well, until I have a location, I can't even look for performers because I don't know what the capacity of the space is. So
backups the Grange. But if the school doesn't work out, then the Grange.
Backup is the Grange. We would both share the library, and the community center would share the Grange. Although,
we do it in a park.
That's what I was wondering. Because Laurel Parks has bleachers for baseball.
The problem comes in is heat. A lot of times, heat and sun, and there's no protection. There's the gazebo, but oftentimes that's not enough to, and it's dependent on the programs. I would have to only choose outdoor programs. Any of the animal programs, they have defaulted to wanting to be indoors for a lot of them because of heat exposure to the animals, especially like the wildlife. Mm-hmm. Not that I wouldn't do it. I just couldn't see myself trying to do a whole 7 weeks. It would also count out any of the museum programs because they need tables and they need structure of
and
like
symphony. They probably wouldn't want their instruments out.
So well, and I do try to change it up each year. So but it just depends on you know, the funding and, you know, okay. Well, who I could get. School.
We'll see what happens in February.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they come up with.
Yeah. So, you know, and they might have a roster of who they already work with, you know, who do assemblies mm-hmm. of schools mm-hmm. that I haven't been able to tap into because they just weren't our size level. Of, mm-hmm. You know, maybe they're used to somebody who's mm-hmm. able to perform to a larger audience.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Good. Cool. Great. Any other business? And there's no public, so no public comment. So any other business? All right. Our next meeting will be February 6th at 6:30. And I will go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 8:14.